Hi, We Earn Media listeners. Today, we have Tamara Sykes with us. Hello. Hello via video, too, if you're watching us on YouTube or anything like that. Hey, Tamara. She is a Caribbean. I'm going to give a quick little intro, if that's cool with you.
Yeah, go for it.
Perfect.
Glad you're okay with that.
It's important to ask for consent these days.
It is true. Should have been on day one, but, you know, I'm glad everyone's on the same page now.
Everybody meet Tamara. She's our wonderful guest today. We're happy to have her here. She is a Caribbean-born PR pro, shaping brand narratives through impactful content and communication strategies. She's also a devoted mom and wife, channeling her expertise to empower ambitious women of color to live their best lives via her brand, Badian Girl. Welcome to We Earn Media, Tamara. You've actually also been, I believe, given a shout out in a previous episode too. It's just all coming to me right now. That was via Amanda Milligan. So everybody listen to that episode.
Wasn't it? I thought it was
Domenica.
Domenica.
Yeah. But I'm sure Amanda also, you know, loved you. It's all good.
You're really good friends. I hope so.
Such a small world that we play in.
It is. It's fun. I like that.
Yeah.
Totally agree. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you so much for being here again. Sorry, what did you say?
Oh, I was just saying they're good colleagues of mine. Sorry.
It's so funny. We've all got... No, don't be sorry. No need to apologize. It's so funny because we've all worked together in some way. And again, speaks to how the nature of how small this digital PR world is.
Yes.
So, Tamara, you're here today to talk about how can PR professionals become indispensable to companies? And it's a very, you know, serious topic, honestly, and a very good topic, very important, especially with all of the layoffs that are happening, not only in the media, but in various industries. You provided, by the way, everybody, listeners, Tamara does her homework. So she has provided us a wonderful, very detailed outline. And I kind of wanted to start off with her summary that she shared with us. Do you want to talk about what your thoughts, Tamara, on the current state of the media industry and the evolving role of PR professionals?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, first to start off, like almost everyone, when I jump on my LinkedIn or my Twitter or I don't know, just anything, I feel like news, I'm seeing layoffs happening. So I do want to, as someone who has been laid off before, I do want to extend my condolences. And like, of course, if I can support anyone, like feel free to DM me on LinkedIn. But we all are seeing a lot of layoffs. And more recently, actually seeing a lot of it happening with journalists. I mean, Business Insider, I know Marketing Brew last year, like it's everywhere. LA Times, we can't hide from it. So with that happening, we all know the ratio of, you know, PR people to journalists is already pretty high. Now it's even higher. Mm. And with journalists being laid off, it does beg the question, like, what about comms? What about PR? Like, what about it? Like, how are we supposed to do our, you know, job, accomplish our goals, our initiatives, our objectives? And so I'm really passionate and have been for quite some time about integrating ourselves, you know, across the aisle, so to say.
Yeah.
And so I really wanted to focus this on that and provide some hope to people. And just at the end of the day, just if you forget anything I say today, just remember you're still a PR professional, even if your title doesn't have the term PR in it. That's the important thing we have to recognize as we move forward in this new world with this changing landscape.
Yeah.
Well said.
Yeah, very well said. I've also been laid off before, and I appreciate this topic. I think it's so common, and I like to normalize that as well. There's huge stigma surrounding that, and rightfully so. It's really hurtful. It's a personal thing. You take a lot of pride in your work, and when you're, you know, laid off, it can be a huge ego, and just it damages your ego, no matter.
Yes.
If you don't see it or feel it right away, I think there's long-term effects from it too. But
oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So let's talk about your kind of like, I'm sorry, I'm trying to figure out a good transition. Lizard. Oh. I knew I'd be the first to use our safe word. Or is it a safe word? Ooh, that kind of sounds weird. But anyways, yeah, maybe lizard.
But that's fine.
All good.
We all got good. We're all consenting here.
Exactly.
So let's see. How can we transition to this? I really want to get into your ideas around how PR contributes to company growth, yeah, and how to make yourself less expendable. I hate saying it that way, but yeah, how can a PR person...
Realistic, though. I understand, like, the sentiment, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Should we start with a discussion around that? How does that sound?
Yeah, that works. I mean, better, best place to start, anyway. It's like, wait, let's answer the question. So we can right, dive into all the, you know, little details about it. Yeah.
Sounds good. Okay, so... we're still getting used to doing a format where we're not interviewing journalists and how we can interview PR experts. All right.
It's okay.
Let's talk about how PRs can contribute to company growth and kind of position themselves as more of this is such a touchy, weird topic for me. I'm so sorry. This is so out of my bounds. I'm not an HR person, I don't really know the right way to say any of this. But what are your thoughts on how PRs can contribute to company growth and make themselves a really strong key player to not only the immediate teams that they work with, whether it be SEOs, whether it be content creators and content writers, but maybe to more of the executive teams or leadership teams?
Yeah, I completely understand. It's the easiest thing to say, because if we continue from what I was saying earlier and like how we intro the topic overall, layoffs are technically a very transactional thing when you look at the bottom line of a company. But as you accurately said, it hurts. I mean, we spend more than 40 hours a week at our jobs, whether we're tracking it or not. Mm-hmm. So because it's such an integral part of our lives, and the agreement is that we're going to give this time to get this pay to contribute to our lives outside of work, when we lose that, there's a lot of things that go into play. So being indispensable, my best advice, because you still can't control how it looks at the end of the day, I think we should first let go of control, but contributing to company growth is probably your best bet. And that is allowing yourself to be flexible beyond PR, like traditional PR is the best way to say it. So when it's company growth, they're looking at, are we building brand awareness? Are we generating leads, right? Is money coming in the door?
Yep.
That's what it's coming down to. You have to be able to show attribution. And I know in PR, it's always hard, especially with measurement and metrics and everything else, to prove that. But another way to think about it is, how can I collaborate across the aisle? How can I get really involved in cross collaboration? I do think that PR pros always do that anyway, but sometimes we are not really good at highlighting where we have the impact. So it's not just, we collaborate with social media, marketing. I mean, the list goes on, right? The mm-hmm. legal team. I mean, we could keep listing all the things that we do. And I think Jenny Dietrich, who I love, did do this on a LinkedIn post. But what we also have to get really good at is better at bragging or doing our own PR of our accomplishments, so people know how we contributed to the growth. Whether we got a placement, or we helped someone message something differently, or we edited a marketing message, that all contributes to the generating leads and the brand awareness. It doesn't always have to be we pitched and then there was a placement. So I really want us to think about, in this new world, of that type of contribution to company growth and being our own PR within the company.
It's brilliant. Yeah, because I think in the past, and it probably depends on your personality, it can feel like, am I bragging when I gloat, or do I sound gloaty when I'm talking about how awesome this work I did is and what it resulted in. But you're making the argument to not feel that way because in a way your career could depend on it, or your maybe your position, right?
Yeah. I mean, again, I don't think we can control the outcome. So I don't want this to be seen as like, oh, I can control this because my therapist has taught me anything.
That's true. That's fair. Yeah. Oh, there's a lot out of your control. That is fair.
Yeah, there's a lot of my control. Unless I'm the one doing the dollars and cents, I can't control much. But you're right. Like, we do need to, there's actually a book titled Brag Better, and they call this out in the book. I think the first name of the author is Meredith. I own the book, which is sad, but then I don't know the full title.
That's okay. It happens.
But her name is Meredith. I can always send the link, or again,
please
I
do.
Love this book.
I will include it.
It's called Brag Better because she talks about the silent qualified group of people who are very qualified. They're like the movers and shakers, the entrepreneurs, I like to call it, within a company, entrepreneurs outside, but they don't do a great job of actually bragging about it because it feels so weird. And ironically, in a lot, I mean, we can all say this as PR professionals, as well as we have colleagues and friends in PR, we all say we are horrible at doing our own PR.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's like, well,
I can relate. Yep.
So part of contributing to the growth is actually looking at how what you do differently. It's like taking a step back from being the PR pro and being like, if I was my own client, what am I doing that contributes? Because again, if I sat down and took any PR professional's, you know, day-to-day tasks that seem so minute and small, you are helping the company. Brand awareness leads to a person clicking on the ad on Facebook or clicking on the ad on Google. I'm going to actually pull out the Solo Stove case study on this one to give an example, even though I know people are not a big fan of what happened in the case study and blah 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 whatever, but think about it. That marketing campaign was genius. So I'm gonna have a hot take, because now someone's actually gonna search on Google and put stove that Snoop Dogg talked about. Now that's become a search term. Okay. So maybe just because the growth and the company didn't see that growth right away, but they've created a new search term, which is going to generate leads, whether or not someone understands or remembers the name of the brand. That contributes to company growth. It may not show up in Google Analytics and all of that, you know, till later, but the person who created that idea, and usually it's a PR professional, I don't know, but usually it is, coming up with innovative ideas, that's long-term growth. That search term will generate a lot of money for Solo, which is a brand, from this day on, even if it didn't happen immediately. And that's the kind of argument that we have to start making for ourselves and bragging about. And like, you know, they say now stand on business, T.I. said, but we need to like basically stand on that and be really proud of how we're contributing and then keep pointing back to it. Even if it's streamlining a process, whatever it is, we have to be confident in our skill set and confident the small changes, big changes, whatever we do in our day-to-day will contribute to the company actually making sales at the end of the day. And one thing I will say, we could learn a lot of this from salespeople because they're really good at it.
Yeah. Yep. I want to become a better salesperson. I read too many books on that, and it's like, I don't even want to do sales, but there's so much you can learn from
the skills, right?
Yeah. The skill. Exactly. Yeah.
So one thing that I miss having a team for this exact reason, because I had a hard time, especially in my earlier days, bragging about myself like we all do, especially internally. It never felt right. Like whatever it was back in the day, it wasn't Slack. It was like what was that? Google Meet, not Google Meet, but Google had their own like Google Plus.
Google Plus.
I think we might have communicated on there or anywhere, even if it was just a whiteboard in the office. I always felt really weird like adding anything that I did to those sort of channels. But what I love doing is having something called a brag book, where I would just note like little things about my colleagues, even on different teams, honestly, sometimes. And then I would experiment with sharing their wins. And slowly but surely, I built up the confidence to talk more, or to start talking a little bit more about myself and what I'm doing. And that's a nice way to like dip your toes into becoming better at humble brags. There was also one thing that we did at an agency. I loved it so much. It was an exercise where the whole team came together and we all talked about a humble brag. It could be personal. It didn't have to be work related, but we all just shared like something we're super proud of that we accomplished that week. And small exercises like that, I believe, tend to go a very long way in helping you build up the confidence to talk loudly about yourself and get to that point, because it is important. And yeah. I don't judge anybody anymore on LinkedIn or anywhere who's shouting about themselves, because I'm like, you know what? That's what we have to do. It's what we've got to do. And if you don't like it, mute me. Like
that, right?
Yeah. The beautiful right. mute button.
Yeah, like it's just
yeah.
Again, PR is such, I mean, now it covers so many things, right? And like you accurately said, also just tracking our wins. So I do something similar, but I track it in a spreadsheet now.
Nice.
If anyone knows me, it's a totally Tamara thing to do. But I actually created this with my therapist. I created a Google form that I can access on any device. And I just like, when someone does like says something to me in Slack, for example, I screenshot it and I upload it. Because even if I don't know how to describe it, at least it's like, you did a great job, or great, you know, nice yeah. doing that one thing. I just like send it to myself. It really helps on days when I'm feeling imposter syndrome or feel like I don't deserve something, or I'm not worthy of an accolade, or I mean, something as simple as being on a podcast, you'd be surprised. Your mind starts doing crazy things.
For sure.
Like, you know, but it's also something really good to bring up performance review time. Also really good to bring up when you are looking to change careers, or if you have a client asking you like, oh my gosh, what did you do? Mm-hmm. That's huge. So I always think of doing it that way as well, just to help, you know, acknowledge it. Again, you can't control the end result, but that's a good thing. Another thing that we do in PR, I wanted to bring up for my outline, is just the idea of helping the C-suite tell stories. Admittedly, they are very focused on the numbers and like getting a result. But yeah. one thing in order to connect with consumers is you have to be able to create, as I said, you know, as you said earlier, a brand narrative. Like you have to be able to create a story. People, consumers are connecting with stories. Whether you're B2B, B2C, filling all the other, you know, business terminology, you need to be able to connect with people. Again, if I bring up the solo stove that, you know, Snoop Dogg did, it's still a matter of everyone knows Snoop Dogg smokes. So going the yeah. direction was like, wait, what happened? Is there like some sort of self-care, self-love? Like, what is the story here? Did he change something in his diet? Like, I mean, like, you know, everyone's like, what is the well-being story here? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's why we bought into it. Again, I'm not talking about the results, but giving advice on that can also make you a really, really indispensable person in general, because whether it's external communications, I know we always talk about PR being external, but internal communications as well. Does the CEO or, you know, the C-suite know how to message this change in the business? Do they know how to talk about this thing to employees? Do they even know how to message a layoff? Like, we've seen some tragic about layoff, like tragic.
Yeah.
Okay. So again, not thinking about PR in this vacuum, but expanding your mind a little bit to say, you know, I do know how to message things. I know how to tell stories. I know how to get buy-in. Like, the list is endless. But
so, oh, go ahead. I have a question from a practicality standpoint. If you mm-hmm. are in an organization and let's say you're kind of, you're a PR person within your company, but maybe they only expect you to do media relations or like help the SEO team build links, because, you know, that's another thing that a lot of digital PR people especially are dealing with right now. Yeah. Do you suggest meeting with people within the organization that are higher up and letting them know you have the skill set that you can help with messaging? Like, you know, if you're not being asked to do these things outside of mm-hmm. your scope, how do you kind of open, like break down the barriers there? Or do you think that's not wise? I can see both sides to it, because I wouldn't want to do more work for less money, not to be blunt.
Yeah, yeah, no, you should be blunt. You should be blunt, because that's
okay, cool.
a question. No, please be blunt. That is a great question. Like, do I want to, like, overextend myself? No, right. Don't do that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Don't do that. Ooh. But, you know, you're like, wait. No, please be blessed. But one thing to consider is, like, for example, a lot of places that I've worked have used Lattice. So I can actually see everyone else's goals, for example. Uh-huh. So doing, like, taking the extra step, you could look at goals and see where you can contribute to that goal, even if you're not accountable, you know, for it or responsible yeah. for it, which is nice. And also, I love a coffee chat. Love a coffee chat.
That's so a good idea. Yep.
Using it, whether, again, you can do it offline. It doesn't have to be work-related, but just building a relationship within a 15-minute coffee chat with someone, again, a different department or in your own department, without even checking the goals if you don't have access to it, and say, like, hey, what are you working on this year? Like, how are things going in your role? And offering, you know, just help, like, if you can. I always say if and when I can support, if you haven't told already. Because sometimes I can't. I'm not the right person to come to. So I say if right. and when, like, mm-hmm. all the time. But just finding out what they're doing and what they're working on. And there might be something, you know, that they're working on that you then learn in that 15-minute chat. That you're like, oh, I can actually really contribute to this. But if you walk away with knowing nothing, you just started or planted a seed. Of like, this is what I do here at the company, or this is what I do, this is my skill set. They are thinking about what they do, and then maybe down the road a project comes up and they're like, you know what, oh, like Jacqueline or Britt mm-hmm. or Tamara, they said that they were really good at this. You might want to talk to them instead. Think about it as planting seeds. And again, even if the seed doesn't come to fruition in the job you're in or in the business you're doing right now, it could come to fruition like later.
Great idea.
I'm a big plant seeds person. Doesn't have to. I'm always like, okay, I'll just water it, see if it, you know, becomes something. Kind of like building relationships with journalists.
Yeah. Right, I was thinking that literally. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to say it, like, but that is literally it, right?
Please, if I say something, you're like, please.
Yeah.
It's just sometimes you talk with journalists and it doesn't become a story. And of course, that's, you know, we all like cry yeah. in our minds sometimes because. We're like, good. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. I only want.
Oh, no. You're like, oh, this is a great relationship, but there's no place for the coverage and there's no link, especially with the SEO thing. You're like, oh, how is my boss going to understand that I have a great relationship with this person, but like, it's not a link? I've been preaching relationships and it didn't come to fruition. But guess what? That can block them into so many different things, which is what I tell every client I've ever worked with PR on, is do not get caught up in it not coming to fruition now. Mm-hmm. Because it will become a thing later. It always does. It always comes back around. And I would apply the same thing to the practical version of what I'm saying is just talk to someone for 15 minutes, set up a coffee chat, get to know them. You don't know. I mean, we're in the age of side hustles, right? You don't know if they have a side hustle that you can work on. You don't know if they decide to become an entrepreneur later and they need PR help. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But just planting a seed in some way, you can become indispensable in that way. And you're also building a network at the same time, which we know as PR people is like gold.
Anyway. Another tactical yep. question. Mm-hmm. So besides LinkedIn, we've touched upon that being, I'd imagine you'd agree that that's an important place for PRs to talk about their personal brands. Do you have any other suggestions on where PR should be, you know, shouting their, seeing their praises and talking about the work they're doing?
Yes. And I have friends who, a man is actually one of them.
Yeah.
I need to do better at this, y'all. I feel like I'm preaching to myself. But yes, TikTok is now becoming major. I'm mm-hmm. going to call another friend of mine, Molly McPherson, who has taken this leap. She took this leap on TikTok last year and just started commenting on pop culture. And now is one of the most, I mean, she has millions of followers now, and it's wow. blossomed into speaking engagements and stuff just on breaking
that's
down
crazy.
Like, crisis PR on pop culture. Like,
wow.
It's insane.
That's cool.
It's that simple. It's not heavy duty, you know?
Like, yeah.
You laid off someone, you missed, like, not that. It's just like, what, you know, Taylor Swift and Travis, it's like simple stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's just taking it and breaking it down, and now she's doing amazing as far as, like, getting people reaching out to her, even in the media, to comment on PR. So I would say TikTok is an untapped platform for us. I know LinkedIn, because we're always talking to, you know, other businesses, is usually what we're doing as PR professionals, but TikTok is one to tap into and finding different ways to do it. What you're doing here, podcasting, I think is big. I think audio is really untapped. So I know there's programs you can use. Like, if you write a post, for example, you can, like, narrate the audio, kind of like an audiobook version, which I'm a huge fan of because I like to do things on the go. Podcasting with the YouTube aspect, brilliant. Commentary, of course, we still talk about X, formerly known as Twitter. But I still see a lot of good stuff on there, so don't abandon it yet. And Instagram might also be a good thing, too. They're obviously competing with TikTok, but if you can't do any of those, let's say you're a good writer, do a Substack or a newsletter. People still like to read. I still buy books. I still read articles. I'm not going to know the whole... Yeah, I'm not going to carry the whole industry on my back alone. But
there are, there are enough of us, I think, I hope.
I just feel like there's so many mediums. What I want PR pros to not do is don't get caught up in what we do to our clients, which is like, is that going to be the most effective and quickest way to get to the end goal? Because we know, for example, if someone said, I want to write a blog post, you'd be like, well, how do we distribute it? How do we do all these things to make it perfect and like get more reach? And like, we start doing all the calculations in our head and then we apply it to ourselves and then we get stuck in, you know, analysis paralysis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's just a good idea to start doing something. Again, I'm speaking to myself because this is like my 2024 goal. Stop getting stuck in the analysis and everything. But just start something and just go with it slowly but surely. If it's just sending out one tweet, you know, a week, start there. Mm-hmm. If it's writing one email newsletter, start there. If it's doing like, well, you're all doing just adding one extra aspect to your podcast. So let's just start there. Like, start small. Find what works best for you. Make sure it's fun too. That will help you stay consistent and help you like improve your own visibility. Again, if your job loves it, yay, but do it more for yourself than anything.
Nice. Those are a lot of options, but I really think they're fantastic tips. Especially what's important there is finding one that you're passionate about and find fun because, I'm not a TikTok person. I feel like that would be, I would get in that analytical, what did you refer to it as? Analytical paralysis or?
Yeah,
basically. Analysis paralysis.
Analysis paralysis.
Yes.
Great phrase.
Yes.
It rhymes.
Thank my therapist.
I feel like we need to link to your therapist's website now and and definitely give them a shout out.
Yes.
Therapy's so important. We'll just leave
therapy's
it there.
Therapy's important.
Yeah.
You're going to need it after TikTok. No, I'm kidding. Sorry, I'm not the biggest fan of TikTok. Lizard. I'm going to remove that.
Aw, why?
I mean, from a personal, not from a PR perspective, but from a personal, like, mental health thing.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I haven't. I've somehow managed to not have TikTok on my phone, and I'll just see the. I'll get them later on my Instagram feed when someone shares it on stories, and then I'm like, ooh, maybe I should download TikTok because these are very entertaining. But then I don't. And I think I'm okay because I would be on it all day, and then my work would suffer.
Same.
We can't have that. It's my guess based off of every once in a while when I accidentally get into the Instagram hole, and I'm like, I can't do this during the week. I gotta.
Yeah.
It's
throw the phone dangerous. Across the room. Yeah, I gotta work.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
I do have a question if we're cool with, I think this is, I'm like, it's like we're playing ping pong right now with this topic, but I like it because I feel like it's good to like get it from all different angles. Kind of want to go back to that Snoop Dogg example because I actually don't know what you're talking about at all. And I want to get. And so that might be good. don't be sorry because I think it would be good for listeners that might not know. And then if you have any other, maybe like just from a tactical standpoint, we could maybe after this call, send me a couple links to other case studies that you think are good examples of like how publicists have made a bigger impact beyond like just doing their basic job title. That would be really good for people to kind of think about in their own world, how that can apply for them. But yeah, feel free to talk about the Snoop Dogg stove thing. I'm curious about it.
I'm so happy you said that. Okay, so this case study, it's actually, I have to find it. I'll find the link for you.
Yeah, but, no worries.
So, Solo is a smokeless stove or fireplace. That sounds crazy. But it is. It exists.
We're cool. Like,
right? the product is that you can have your fireplace or cook inside. Like, I think you can cook inside your house because there's, like, an actual desktop version, too. And I saw it in Target myself where you can, like, you know, do little marshmallows, sit on the patio, all that fun stuff without any smoke, because when it's, you know, someone's doing a bonfire, what do we all complain about? The smoke. The
smoke.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or the embers possibly floating in our hair or whatever.
Right.
Right? Major problem. So Solo is the brand, that created this smokeless soap. So prior to, I think it was Black Friday specifically, Snoop Dogg came out and said he's no longer going to smoke.
Okay.
Which, like I said, all of us that are pure people are like, yeah, wait a second, there's something going on here.
Yeah, yep,
this is either, like, he's
like, that is his brand.
Right, yeah. Like, yeah, exactly. There's something going on here. Either he's doing a well-being push or something, or, like, what, you know, what's going on. Like, you know, all of us were, like, side-eyed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, okay, what's going on?
While the rest of the world and news outlets and commentary shows are going up in flames. Like, what? Snoop is not doing this? Like, and, you know, that could, we can go on the rabbit hole of connecting to laws about, you know, CBD and weed, and we can go the whole thing. But the point is, we all, as marketers and PR people, were like, that's a little interesting.
Yeah.
So then Black Friday, or the, you know, the post-Thanksgiving, I'm pretty much going to say, came, and he drops this ad. It showed on, you know, streaming services, TV. I saw it via streaming. I don't have cable anymore. But also he dropped it on Instagram and other social media platforms where he's saying, like, I'm not going to smoke. And then he addresses the question of, like, oh, what do you mean, Snoop? You're not going to smoke? Like, talking to himself, what people are probably going to say in response. But he's like, no, I mean, like, he shows the fireplace thing. And I was sitting in my house like, this is brilliant.
That is brilliant.
I'm like, because, I mean, when this seeped into, like, every commentary show that I watch on Facebook TV and YouTube. Like, it was major. Like, everyone was like, what do you mean you're not smoking? However, unfortunately, as a result, the CMO who came up with this idea, and again, remember, title doesn't mean he's not a PR professional, the person's not a PR professional, they got let go over this. Because the brand said that, or the case study said that it did not create immediate sales.
Oh. Interesting. So it kind of, like, almost backfired in a way.
Right.
That's mm-hmm. crazy.
Crazy. However,
really stupid.
When agreed. I totally agree with you. Because when I talk to a lot of PR professionals that, you know, my sphere of influence in Ohio and just on, like, you know, group chats, etc., a lot of mm-hmm. us were like, why though? Because, again, whether we are super into SEO or not, we know people are going to search
yep.
for that stove. Even if they forgot the brand name, yeah. they're going to go search for that. That is now a search term.
And it's got people talking, too, outside of the internet. Now, Jackie, you know what a Solo stove is. You might go home and buy one, you know, next month.
I'm going to search it. I might, maybe next episode I'll have it ready and we can watch it in action. We'll invite you back on, Tamara.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yes. I thought it was brilliant. I would definitely come back for that one. But, I mean, besides the case study, there were a lot of think pieces on this. Mm-hmm. Bringing up TikTok again. Came up.
It's okay. About it. No, I can talk about TikTok.
Oh, no, I'm just saying, just, you know, sometimes TikTok can be a lot to navigate. But in that situation, it's like, that was a win. Now, I was not in the conversation. I don't know what happened from the HR perspective. And it's maybe mm-hmm. not the absolute best example of, like, contributing to brand growth. But it did. I mean, brand awareness, as we as PR people preach, is aware. Like, people now know about this thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's absolutely. It's not often, you know, Timbuktu, as I like to say. No one is like, what is that thing again? They're like, wait, what was that thing that Snoop Dogg talked about? That's, like, step one, right? And that's just one of those things, again, I always say you can't control the outcome, but someone else is going to look at that CMO or the team that supported that person and be like, that was a brilliant idea. I want that person. You see mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
Yes.
It does show that you can contribute to with genius, innovative ideas later on, and doesn't mean that your, you know, road ends there. Another brand I just thought about, and I talked about this before, Aerie did this mm-hmm. too, and probably, where they saw the pivot in consumer, you know, spending and how they were really focusing on body inclusivity, et cetera, not just into the brand itself, but what the brand stands for. And so they launched a whole campaign around storytelling. I saw influencers that I knew that weren't necessarily fashion influencers starting to be included in their ads and their campaigns. And that was really strategic. Think about it. They started doing that and now are on a good path versus Abercrombie and Fitch had like a, a Netflix special made about them not pivoting. Think about the time. Again, I'm just saying. People call me the dot connector. Just think about the timing, okay?
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, there are people in the background who contributed to that brand trajectory changing. Yep. Guaranteed. Do I have an inside scoop? No. I'm just telling you from the outside. So I do think in
you
cases can tell. Like...
You don't need to be on the inside to know. Correct. You just know.
Barbie's another one.
Mm-hmm.
The Barbie movie is one part of their PR change, but they actually have a documentary on Hulu, how they were really tackling changing the body. Like, they've always been tasked with talking about, like, can you change the bodies of Barbie? Can you be more inclusive on all spectrums?
Yep.
And they actually did a documentary on it, but did it hit as hard as the Barbie movie?
I watched it. Best... I loved it.
Okay, see? That's one of the launched PR campaigns for a movie ever, right?
Made history.
Like, literally. But they were setting the stage, and the documentary actually has, I think their head of PR, VP of PR, is in the documentary talking, and their product team talking about all the changes that they're, you know, tackling and navigating with the Barbie to change it. So, again, even though I'm a dot connector, it's just like,
yeah,
we do contribute a lot to brand growth, but is it always the sexiest view? Maybe not, but we still need to be vocal about it and see, like, that turned into dollars. That turned into a Barbie movie that I'm sure, I'm positive, has contributed to the increase of Barbie purchases.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I would not doubt it.
Like,
I wouldn't
doubt it. I'm a mom, so I'm like, oh, yeah. My daughter has magazines now with Barbie on it. Headless. And before, she didn't really care. Just saying.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I like, so that it's all great. Barbie, obviously, that was like not, it was like all the different marketing departments coming together and doing their share. And then that Snoop Dogg example is also like social PR and advertising coming together. So I feel like, yeah, that's like, those are good examples of getting to the heart of what you're talking about. And it has me thinking, like, you don't have to ask to do more work for less money, but you could come up with a campaign that involves other departments and then keep up with them and see what they're seeing on their end. Talk to your, if you have an analytics person, they're a really good resource for, that was actually, now I'm on a, well, it's not really a tangent, but I wasn't going to go here, but I will go here for a second. Meeting with them, maybe doing a coffee chat and just asking like, hey, do you have access to this data? I mean, you'd be surprised. Some of this data is just there, but it's not being reported on because it's not, maybe it's not the main KPI, key performance indicator, if you don't know what that is. I know you guys do, but if someone else doesn't. But it's still there, and it can be really helpful to pull that data out when you need it. Put it in your brag document or your brag book or whatever you got. I like it.
Me too.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. I'm feeling inspired. I love this.
Me too.
Now, we don't have too much more time. I feel like I could talk to you even more about the other campaigns that you've noticed and how you can connect the dots and do all the things. We're going to have to catch up at another time on that because this has been so much fun. But as far as our listeners go, let's connect the dots for them. And can you recap a few tips for them to kind of put in their back pocket and remember once they walk away from this lovely conversation?
Yes, absolutely. So first, as I said way earlier, remember that you are still a PR professional, even if the title does not have PR in it. Like, that is very key, okay? We're entering, because the landscape's changing, journalists are even shifting what they do and what they're asked to do. They're being tasked with getting more readers, numbers, growth for the company, etc. We also have to shift how we think about our roles. Secondly, try to find opportunities that will give you that, you know, if you don't feel you've had the chance to shine, find opportunities that you can shine in. Start reaching across the aisle, or again, talk to people within your department, within your industry. Again, I'm not saying it has to be with your job, even though I know the title of this start with something as simple as a 15-minute chat. Just a 15-minute chat, no expectations, find out what other people are working on, and offer your support. Again, my famous phrase is, if and when I can, please reach out to me. But just plant some seeds and do some digging to see where you can, you know, contribute outside of the PR role that we all, again, quotations, since we're doing visuals too, that we all keep thinking it has to look like. Those are my main 2 points. But then after that, start bragging on yourself. I do think a lot of people are going to keep looking for PR professionals to have more of a digital footprint. This is the conversation that's been happening offline a lot amongst like my colleagues and I, like showing up and showing what you have done, what you can do.
Yep.
Even if it just starts with something as simple as what Britt said, what Jacqueline said, like just, you know, just documenting it.
Express yourself.
Express yourself.
Digitally, in some way.
In some way, right? Don't make it a whole, you know, thing. Just, even if it's just taking a notebook and writing down what you did, saving screenshots. You don't have to be the Excel spreadsheet person that I am. It just gives me peace at night.
I love them too. They're great. Spreadsheets are amazing.
It's organized, right? It's just me. But yeah, nice. So my main 2 points were that, but then definitely like try to brag on yourself, do some confidence boosting things for yourself. It'll become easier to take either any of our methods that we mentioned. And I do think you'll be on a good start there. Resolution, path, intention, whichever word you want to put with it. But that's what I think we can do just practically to start being more indispensable.
Brilliant.
Love it. Thank you for listening to this episode of We Earn Media. Jacqueline and I have a bit of a favor to ask. If you find the podcast useful and have an extra minute or two to spare, we would be incredibly grateful if you could take just a moment to leave a rating. Your feedback means the world to us, and it helps others discover our show. Thank you so much, listeners, for being a part of our PR community, and we can't wait to hear what you think.